right. Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, election results from the US. By the way, quick note to South Africa, because yesterday there was a big Bella protest. Actually, yes. I had one or two friends who went to that.
And then because there was people wearing orange and people wearing blue.
Ferial Hafiji had a meltdown.
Of course. That
Ferial Hafiji was
apartheid,
like, oh,
is back, Garrett.
Because she's so traumatized, right? Like she's got PTSD, Ferial. And whenever she sees blue and orange and white, she immediately thinks, oh my God, the old regime are back.
Yeah.
Which is...
Well, apartheid held her back so much she became a leading editor in the country.
Well, also, it must be terrible for her when the Metro Police in Johannesburg stop her, because I've noticed that it's orange and blue and white. So Ferial's...
Absolutely.
Every time... Maybe
just crazy.
Does she live in Joburg? I don't know. But if she does, I feel sorry for you, Ferial, and you have my sympathies, because those Metro Police, when they chose those colors, just didn't take into consideration your mental state and the nervousness with which you approach those colors every time you see them. Must be terrible to be so triggered.
Imagine being afraid of color.
Oh, it's horrible. Anyway, the Bella protest, which was about this terrible law.
Terrible.
And by the way, yeah. Panyaza Lesufi was melting down too, complaining about how this is – people hate blacks and they hate the ANC, and that's why if you stand against Bella, it must be because you want black children to suffer, and just the most incredible like stupidity going on.
I'm not sure the guy who spent like 300 million rand sanitizing a school instead of educating children should really talk about who hates black children.
Oh
yeah,
yes, that's a good point.
I mean, I know hypocrisy doesn't matter to the left,
but really Panyaza's got only a small window of opportunity here to make a big mark, and I think he's trying very hard.
He thinks he's going to be up there.
He thinks he might be the next president.
I think it's going to be hilarious when Fikile Mbalula is like the deputy president and Paul Mashatile is the president.
You think?
Yeah, that's probably where it's going to go.
Okay, so there, you've got some bonus South African politics in this morning's show. It wasn't just all about America. Okay, so a lot of people saying here... there goes the English Steve Hofmeyr, Gareth. That's JMP. I'm the English Steve Hofmeyr. So apparently Steve Hofmeyr was at the Bella thing.
Okay.
That was another reason people were melting down.
Why?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe he has kids and maybe he cares about education. I mean, that would be my first port of
call. I think
call.
He's got a lot of kids, doesn't he?
He's got kids in every town, apparently. So
I mean,
him,
I think Steve has been very successful in the procreation.
And he's not paying private schools for all of them.
No, not a chance. Only the mothers he likes.
Anyway, I'm so sick of our mainstream media also pushing Kamala Harris like they've always pushed the ANC as a savior of South Africa and all other races. The devil, says Moonchild. ANC playing victim again, says Judas. Patrick says, not to mention the whole of the Northern Cape colored Afrikaans schools, but these idiots try to make Afrikaans racial. Suck it, fools, says Patrick. Sugar says, first time I hear about it on this platform, I'll look into it. Well, okay, good. Look, I don't know enough about this Bella law.
So I got some.
You can help me understand.
I got some insight into it. So essentially, it gives complete control to the state over schools. So school governing bodies lose their power.
Now, who would want that?
Well, it's centralizing control, right?
Who would want the government that gave us Angie Motshekga to suddenly have 100% of the say about what happens to your children in all those hours that you're not there? In other words, where the state has unopposed access to your child.
Mm.
At the moment, their brain is at the most soft. To put nonsense into it, and
yes.
People want that?
Yeah. So, and also just to control in general how schools operate and function. And
look, I know we have terrible parents in this country. I know we have dissolute and broken down, disastrous catastrophes of parenting in South Africa.
Yeah, but we also have pockets of excellence in schooling.
Sure. But they want to destroy both.
So this will – it's the same thing as NHR, right? It's all centralized. It's all the government must control this particular entity because the government knows best. And in truth, we already know because we've run an A-B test where you can go, what does government education/healthcare look like? What does private education/healthcare look like? On average, which is better? And we know which is better. But the government insists on trying to convince us that government-run stuff will be better. And it obviously isn't. And yeah, it's just these are terrible, terrible bills and they will do irreparable damage to people in the country. So who knows? Let's see what happens with them.
So don't send your kids to state schools if this is all
private. The problem is most people don't have a choice, and private health, schooling is becoming particularly expensive. Because
so then the gap between rich and poor will just grow.
Absolutely. And
because rich people will send their kids to better schools, and poor people will have shitty state schools and shitty state health, and poor people will die faster and in greater numbers.
And be disabled and all the rest
of it. And they'll be less educated, so they'll continue to be poor. And this is what the ANC wants. More inequality.
Yes. So, I mean, they don't see it that way.
Just making sure.
That's what it'll create. That's what it will
create. This is what they want. Let's just be clear. This is what Panyaza Lesufi wants. He wants more poor and unhealthy people.
Sure. And I mean, back to America, you see similar issues there with education, because they've also got a large teachers union, like we've got SATU. They've also got a large teachers union, and that teachers union has also done incredible damage to education in America by basically always lobbying on behalf of what's best for the Democrats and their teachers, and not what's best for students and for kids. So, you know,
and that really was tested in COVID, because the teachers union in America wanted to shut down schools.
Well, not only wanted to, did, and in fact wanted them to be kept shut down through 2022. So even if you were a big fan of shutting down schools, just consider that. Mm-hmm. That was 2 years later. They were upset at schools opening in 22. Remember that some Ivy League colleges still have COVID vaccine mandates to today. No one else in the world has that. It always interests me in America that some of the things they do that they almost forget that, and Americans often get criticized for this, but they forget that there are other places in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
and it's just weird when you see them doing stuff that, for example, mainstream Europe's not doing, that they were doing wrong 2 years ago, but they've stopped because they realized it was stupid. Yeah. And the Americans just bulldozer on, carry on.
So, okay, let's just go to the issues here, because I think probably for most people in the world, they're not that invested outside of America in Donald Trump or Kamala Harris. It probably doesn't affect them on a day-to-day basis. Like, most people are not affected by government on a day-to-day basis, but there are stories and there are ways of dealing with things that go through the world as a result of what happens in this election. It sets an agenda for the world for 4 years. It kind of sets a tone, a direction, and there are going to be things that are now going to be put to pasture or will become less prominent. And you were talking about energy earlier and how even though Trump won't influence the energy policy of a country outside of the U.S., his way of dealing with things may change the way that governments there think about things and the people of those countries. So what do you think a Kamala victory, should it happen, would mean for all these things that the world has been talking about for the last 4 years? Racial inequalities, diversity, equity, and inclusion, wokeism, transgender bathrooms. I mean, is Kamala going to be a continuation of that? Would she intensify that sort of stuff? She certainly is a believer in things like equity.
Yeah.
Do you think that if she won, those would be prominent things that the world would have to deal with?
Yeah, I think probably. I think it would be a continuation. I think those things are all reaching an end point because people are starting to get fed up with them. The transgender stuff, for example, you know, the Europe and the UK have now come out and basically said they're not giving any hormone therapy to kids.
Even Scandinavian countries.
Scandinavian countries. If you want to read up about it, there's something called the CAS report, and that's now being followed, which is good science, showing that these things damage kids and don't have good outcomes. So America is behind in that, but they will catch up. She may carry on doing that stuff. Look, I think that stuff you can survive, because unfortunately, any kid who gets sort of caught up in that and then has their life destroyed by puberty blockers is unfortunately never going to be the same. But the country as a whole can survive 4 years of that kind of insanity. The country as a whole can survive 4 years or even 8 years, as Barack Obama showed, of being told that you're all racist.
Yeah.
You know, it's possible to survive those types of things.
Let's just be fair. For the first 4 years, he didn't say those things.
Yes. Okay,
Barack Obama was the candidate of unity. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not blue states, not red states. We're the United States. And he said that he thinks that largely we can put away some of these race things. He's first black president and so on.
Yep.
But he did change his tune in 2012.
Yeah,
and it was a different sort of.
He started moving even before then, but sure, the second term was really where that stuff accelerated. And then obviously by the time Hillary was running, it really was full blown. That was the sort of birth of Black Lives Matter and right. all of these sort of entities pushing race politics. But I think you can probably survive some of those things. They obviously create division in your society, and they're not healthy for any society. We know this in South Africa. I mean, News 24 just cannot help but push race all the time. They see it in everything. And I think people are waking up to that, which is great. The things you can't survive is kind of a nuclear holocaust. So
that's quite a big problem.
So, you know, I think that those are the things that worry me more with a Kamala Harris presidency. You know, an economy that keeps failing where
inflation
becomes...
You think we'd end
becomes,
up in a nuclear holocaust? How?
I think we are way...
Sounds and a bit I'm, extreme.
I'm not particularly a fear-mongering doomsday type of person, which is why I could never get down with COVID, because that's what we were told. We were all going to die, right? Sure. And it was a complete lie. But the problem is we're way too close at the moment to war that could escalate into something uncontrollable.
You mean in Ukraine? You mean in the Middle East?
I mean both.
Yeah.
I mean both. And the problem is that the Democrats do not want to de-escalate Ukraine, and the Russians do not care to keep escalating it. And the Russians are now allied with the Chinese. Mm. And the Chinese are allied with the North Koreans. And the North Koreans are not stable. You know, well, the leader of that country is not a stable human being, right? And he has nuclear weapons. And China has nuclear weapons. And Russia has more nuclear warheads than any other country on Earth, including the United States. And they're probably better taken care of, because in the United States, they haven't looked after the
Are you saying that Trump would get on the phone and say, I'm friends with Kim. I'll just talk to Kim. I'll have a conversation.
Look, he remembers
me from when we walked across the border. It was beautiful.
I'll make a prediction now. If Trump wins, the issues in Ukraine-Russia are resolved within the next within 6 months of him taking office, so from January to July, and the issues in the Middle East are resolved by the first year of him having taken office. And that's important, because that actually – you may never be impacted by – what the transgender policy on bathrooms is in the United States. But if people start lobbing nuclear warheads at each other, or even if they don't do that, but they just go to traditional war with each other, if there is a war between Europe, America, and Russia, China, and it's a third world war, and even remove the nukes from the equation, that is a terrible thing to live through. And those of us who have grandparents that fought in those wars know that, because ask them. There was hardly any food. There was hardly any stuff you could buy. There was nothing at the shops. Life was about one thing and one thing only, and that was about trying to contribute to that war effort so that you could win, so that things could go back to normal.
And survive.
Yeah. And like, why do we need to go back to that? It just seems silly to go. And everyone knows it's dumb.
So if you were in America, what would be your main reason to vote for Trump then? That
I think if I was in America, the economy, which is coming out as the top issue in exit polling, the economy would be my number one issue. Same as if I, as a South African voter, economic growth is my number one issue. The party that can cause economic growth brings this country out of poverty. They change everything. Hmm. And so I think in the States, it's the same story. If you fix the economy, you fix a lot of other issues. So that would be the first thing. I think the foreign policy matters. I think Americans, and polling shows this, they're tired of the so-called forever wars. They've had enough of fighting conflicts all over the world that they don't see a reason to fight. And they've had enough of spending money externally when it seems as if their country doesn't have enough money to do things internally. So I can imagine it's very frustrating as an American, because I know this as a South African. It's very frustrating to drive on a road with potholes and then go over a highway bridge and look at that bridge. Now, I mean, do this. Next time you drive over
one
of those...
Well, there was one that collapsed in Durban yesterday.
Yes. So next time you drive... Oh, I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, but... yeah. At the old airport in Amanzimtoti, the bridge collapsed over the highway.
Oh, okay. So I keep looking at those bridges over the highway in Joburg and thinking to myself, you know, it's looking a bit tatty. Mm. And I don't know if anyone serviced this in the last 20 years. And there's not tons you have to do to concrete, but you do have to look after it and you do have to maintain it. And I don't think that's happening. So I look at all of this stuff and I go, well, I'm bothered by that. Now, if you also told me that South Africa was sending out billions or even trillions of rands every year to make sure that the people in name a country.
Azerbaijan.
Yeah. Can you know, whatever, be able to fight the people in wherever else.
Armenia.
Thank
just
you.
Just for the sake of some
Azerbaijan and Armenia are suddenly at war. But if you talk, I'd be annoyed. I'd be bothered by that.
Right.
And Americans are. That's what the polling shows.
Well, I mean, luckily for us, we know some Americans, and one of my friends lives in Washington D.C., and I am sure that she is watching all the exit polls as they happen. I'm absolutely convinced that she went to vote. She most certainly voted for a Democrat. And that would be Kamala Harris. And I know that she's begrudgingly speaking to me because it's late at night in America right now. Is Debbie on the line? There she is, the great Debbie Droke.
Oh,
look
I
at
am.
You.
Look at me.
I miss you.
How are you?
I
miss you too, Gareth. We keep on missing each other when I'm in South Africa. And Jonathan, you look rather familiar from 4 years ago.
Indeed, Debbie. I was wrong 4 years ago. Let's see if I'm wrong again.
You couldn't get anyone else on, right?
Well, you know what? He admitted he was wrong 4 years ago. Some people would say Trump didn't. But how are you feeling about this election, Debbie? And I haven't you and I haven't spoken politics for such a long time. Oh, you're wearing a Kamala Harris shirt. Who knew?
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
I was
put
at
that
the rally
screen.
Last week.
Okay, so tell me what's been going on in Washington, how you're feeling. You voted, obviously.
Oh, of course. Of course I voted.
Where's your sticker, Debbie?
I was upstairs. I could go up and get it. Trust me. Voted early. You know, I'm cautiously optimistic. And right now I'm looking at it. It's like I'm looking at my phone. Kamala has 209 electoral votes, and Trump has 230. So I want to. Are you still there?
I'm listening. Yeah,
I'm listening.
I'm listening
okay,
to you. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't want to interrupt you.
Oh gosh! Don't interrupt me. not like last time, right? A lot of the precincts haven't come in that are mostly blue. So again, we were told not to get too nervous because a lot of the smaller precincts have already come in. But I'm a little nervous. And you know, I'm listening to what the polls say. I was hearing Jonathan talk and you talk about what America is doing wrong. And of course, I don't agree with everything.
Of course.
I just, you know, it's, I don't agree with, you know, what you're saying about Ukraine and a nuclear holocaust. I do worry about that. I really do. And you know, Gareth, I'm definitely a Democrat, but I'm also very much of a hawk. Mm. So, you know, we lived in Berlin, as you know, during the occupation and the fall of the wall and reunification.
That's right.
And you know, if Ukraine is taken over, then the next one is Poland. It's not like Putin is going to stop. So, and then there goes Europe. So I am really worried about it. I think that,
Deb,
you know,
when you talk to your neighbors, I mean, you're in Virginia, right?
Yeah.
Technically,
I'm
you're
in
not.
Virginia. Yeah, I'm about
technically, you're not in the District
of
Columbia, right? So,
So
when you were talking to your neighbors, when you were in the line to vote, what are people really worried about, or is it very tribal? Because we look at America from miles and miles away, and I see a very fractured country. I see a huge amount of division. And I love America. You know how I feel. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. I would prefer that America did well. I would like to see America do well in the world. I'd like to see American influence spread throughout the world. I think it's a good thing. But America looks to me like a very fractured place. What are your neighbors saying? What do you care the most about in this election? What's motivating people to go to the polls or to stay at home?
So a lot of people are staying home, a lot of the young people, and Daniela and I have had so many conversations about this, is what's going on in the Middle East, which is a very complicated. It's such a complicated story, but a lot of the young people are very upset with Netanyahu continuing to, commit genocide with the Palestinians. And there's a very fine line in, of course Israel needed to defend itself, but at the same time, he's had many opportunities to have a ceasefire and come to the table. And I think he's politically motivated because, in my opinion, he's in the same boat as Trump, that if he's out of office, they're going to try to send him to jail. So I think it's politically motivated. But the young people here, not all of them, but a lot of them feel really that it's not worth voting or voting for a third party, which to me is voting for Trump. Women, and I'm hoping it comes out, are very upset about having our bodies taken over by old men, making these decisions that, I marched about 50 years ago when Roe v. Wade was overturned. It's not even about choosing to have an abortion. It's about a woman miscarrying and not being able to get medical attention because she has to be sepsis in order and almost dying in order to help her. I mean, where are we? Like, what is
I mean,
wrong
I can tell
us?
You from a medical opinion perspective, that's complete misinformation. No doctor won't help you. And the woman you're referring to took an abortion pill, which she got, and then ignored her symptoms for days and then presented very late to hospital and was helped. There's a difference between abortion and miscarriage, and those terms are different.
There is a difference between abortion and miscarriage.
And those terms are different because they're different things.
Please, you're incorrect. There are women dying in the United States right now because medical professionals are afraid that they're going to lose their license or they're going to go to jail. And about an abortion pill is not going to happen.
Yeah, but these are fever dreams. It's the same as the stuff about the Middle East. You talk about a genocide, but the population has grown. You talk about Netanyahu having a chance for a ceasefire, yet Hamas has had more than 365 days to release the hostages, which you don't mention.
I agree.
All these narrative sort of traps. I'm not really interested in the narrative traps. I'm interested in the reality. Like, you're a real person who's got real concerns about your country. The reality is that surely you can see that there would be some positive aspects to a Trump presidency as against a Kamala one.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure for
no,
your perspective.
That's okay. Your narrative, not let's mine. Hear,
so you,
that's
you reckon,
your narrative.
Okay. So this is the other thing I want to ask you. So let's imagine Kamala wins tonight, then you can wear your shirt tomorrow and it'll be celebrations because DC's all boarded up, as I understand it.
Oh, it's really sad. I mean, yeah. I mean, when I was
why
there
is it boarded up?
Week,
why is it? Is it because the Republicans are coming to do another January 6th? Is that why they've boarded it up?
No, they're afraid that if Kamala does win, that there will be massive riots and people will, you know, they'll. But
if Kamala does,
win. Probably another. If he does, if Kamala wins, I don't see a bunch of Democrats going into riot. If Trump wins, I really don't. But if Kamala wins, I think there's going to be a lot of political unrest. And I believe that, you know, everyone's got their lawyers set up to go in and contest if Kamala does win.
What'll happen if Trump wins?
Well, again, I think that, you know, there might be some. I don't believe
small protests.
I don't believe that there will. Well, there might be some, but nothing like if Kamala. Nothing like.
I just don't know where the Republicans in D.C. would come from. I mean, 90% of D.C. votes for votes for Kamala, or will voted for Biden. They'll probably vote the similar way for Kamala. So why would the places in D.C. be concerned when the majority of them are Democrats? That doesn't seem to make sense to me. Also,
if
I mean,
Kamala
of all
wins,
the riots,
if Kamala wins,
of all, yeah, I don't. I mean, I think.
I think people will come in and protest all over the United States.
Where will they come from? Will they be bussed like Democrats bus their supporters around?
So there's nothing wrong with Democrats bussing their supporters around to go in and canvass.
I mean,
that's what democracy is all about.
Black children around.
No, there's nothing wrong with bussing in. I'm sorry, what did you just say about bussing children?
Well, the Democrats, you know, as you know, had that failed racist policy many years ago, which Kamala actually called Joe Biden racist over, if you remember the 2020s.
Yeah, the primaries.
But yeah, I think that's an interesting take, because if of all the riots we've seen over the last 8 years, the ones that took place just before the 2016 elections that happened in Democrat cities by Democrats, and then
the George Floyd riots,
the George Floyd riots in 2020, and the burning down of large swathes of Minneapolis and other small towns.
Those were Democrats. Floyd is a totally different subject.
But it wasn't Republicans rioting, Debbie. It was Democrat voters.
No. There were a lot of people that that did stoke the fire of these riots, and a lot of them were Republicans. So I mean, look, not all of us are innocent in. You know, what a lot of people do. Do I believe in rioting? No, absolutely. Do I believe in putting your whole community on fire and tearing it down? No, not at all. But let's just go back to what would happen if Trump did win. He's told us who he is, so we should believe him. Okay. And what scares me is that in 2016, when he won, people obviously did not like Hillary, even though she won by 3 million votes, the electoral votes gave it to her. Gave it to him. And I understand that. That's another
whole
subject.
Don't be an election denier now, Debbie.
No, I'm not being an election denier, but she did win by 3 million votes. And, you know, if Trump won by 3 million votes and Kamala got the electoral, I would be very happy about that. So that's just another whole subject. However, what about what Trump says he's doing? It's total retribution. He says things about he wishes the generals were more like Hitler.
No, Debbie, sorry. Correction.
Yes,
No. There were at least five people in the room. One person says he said that, and three people have come on record to say he never said that. So, you know, it's fine. You can believe the one person.
I will believe it.
Yeah.
I believe the three. So
General
that's okay.
General Kelly,
who's a partisan. So, and has been a partisan since he wrote an anti-Trump book the minute he was fired from his position.
What about General Milley? Who never came out?
General
Milley,
the guy who supports transgender people having.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
The taxpayer, the military,
what
and the taxpayer paying for people to trans to become transgender in the military.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
I have a problem with that. So that's,
well,
that's,
I don't. I mean, as there an you go. American,
but,
I don't.
But you,
I
you,
don't.
You,
I
so mean, you want to hold up Millie.
That's what social medicine is all about.
Social medicine. What's social medicine?
Well, I've been on social medicine my whole life. My dad was a sergeant in the Air Force, and then I married a military man.
Oh, you're talking about taxpayer-funded medicine. Yeah. Single pay.
Well, I'm talking about socialized medicine. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's a lot wrong with it. It's collapsing all
Sorry,
over the world.
But I want to go back to
we're talking about transgender.
So you were saying, so you were saying, like, he said, and Jonathan disputes this, and I think the facts are gathered more on his side, but that's a discussion for another time, that he wants his generals to be more like Hitler's generals.
Von
Ribbentrop
only...
and those guys. Anyway, I mean... The point is, whether or not he said this, this worries you.
It does worry me. And other things worry me. How about Project 2025? What did he say about internment camps? You know, the whole Heritage Foundation.
So he has said, he's said very clearly that he does not associate with Project 2025.
Such bullshit.
He's never seen it. You don't believe any of that? You think he's that's his real agenda?
No, absolutely not. I mean, they didn't even put out a book because they didn't realize that Vance was going to be the nominee for vice president. Mm-hmm. And he did a forward for Project 2025, the book, and it hasn't come out yet because of that, because of the controversy.
Okay, what in Project 2025 would worry you the most?
Assuming it represents him, even though he has personally gone on record saying, I disavow.
Let's put that aside for a second.
Oh, come on. Yeah. He's such a friggin' liar. Are you kidding me? He would personally disavow his own wife if she was a threat to his, you know, getting the presidency. I mean, come on. How could you believe anything that Trump says?
Okay, so what's in it? What's in it that really bothers you, assuming we're following
the internment,
this?
Internment camps.
Internment camps for who?
Rounding everyone up. Rounding everyone up.
Everyone?
Well, who?
Well,
illegal
all
immigrants.
All the supposedly illegal immigrants. Look, when you look like me and you know, you have the Stephen Millers of the world that are in charge of this.
Stephen Miller, Jewish Nazi. That guy.
Yes. Well, okay. Yeah. I mean,
no, just
he
checking.
Is Jewish and, oh, come on.
I'm just checking. I'm just checking we've got our things straight.
Come on.
A Jewish Nazi.
Yeah, he's a very Jewish man and he's a Nazi. Trump also being the grandfather of Jewish kids.
Yeah.
So Stephen Miller is a despicable man who happens to be Jewish. And, you know, Jews were complicit also during the Nazi regime. But
sure,
you have a president.
Okay.
Look. So he wants internment camps.
Okay.
What else? You know, it's 12 midnight.
I'll tell you
I'm
what.
Sorry.
I can't hold you up as the person who's responsible for all Democrats. And I'm sure that someone in the Kamala campaign, you know, so I'm not, and certainly I don't want to have you here and make this unpleasant because I haven't spoken to you in such a long time. And we're talking about
we haven't
country's election. So how do you think? Go on.
Go ahead. No, go on.
Go ahead,
ask your question.
How do you think the Americans who are voting Trump can be from the same country as you are and think so differently about things?
I don't know. I don't
because famously you and your husband Bill and I used to have conversations about how bipartisan Washington used to be, about how people used to get along, about how
absolutely
a Democrat and a Republican could get together and talk about stuff without
absolutely,
you know, accusing each other of being Hitler and the devil and Nazis and God knows what else.
No, you're right. You're
and
right.
low IQ,
right.
Frankly, you know? I mean, that's what Trump calls Kamala, very low IQ. So do you think it's possible, whoever wins this election, do you think it's possible Americans will sort out their shit and actually become friends again? Or do you think it's just going to get worse?
So I think with Kamala, she says that she will have people in her own cabinet and that she will – work on across the aisle. I think with Trump, it's pure retribution. He's going to go after all the people that said bad things about him. He's an egotistical maniac. You know, the thing that scares me about Trump, it's not necessarily Trump. It's the terrifyingly competent people that it surrounds him.
So this is a good point. Like, don't you?
Yeah.
I would have thought you would have been someone who might be very keen on Bobby Kennedy. I mean, Bobby Kennedy.
Oh, God.
You're not, right?
Are you talking about JFK Jr.?
RFK.
RFK.
RFK Jr. Yeah, yeah. I don't refer to him as Bobby Kennedy. I understand. No, he terrifies the hell out of me. He's going to be in charge of health. He's going to be in charge of health. I mean, he does. He's just, he cut off the head of something and put it in Central Park, and he has a worm in his head, and he's going to get rid of the CDC and all these, and be in charge of health. Like, that's ridiculous. He has absolutely no competency in that.
In fairness, a lot of the people in charge of health completely screwed up COVID. I'm sure you accept there were some mistakes made at least during that time.
Yeah,
Rachel Walensky. I mean, let's go look at the thing she did.
Especially when Trump was in power. Absolutely, there was a lot of mistakes made.
More people died from COVID under Biden than Trump. So let's just get that straight in America.
Biden inherited that. And you know, while he was giving Putin the vaccinations that we needed,
he allegedly gave Putin two injections. Two injections did not destroy America.
Well, I didn't hear about two. I think it was a bit more than that.
Well, the allegation is that he personally gave Putin injections for Putin, which is a thing that world leaders would do for each other because it's called diplomacy.
Diplomacy?
Yes,
on our
absolutely.
Starch enemy?
Absolutely.
No way. No way.
Sorry.
I would have rather him given the vaccine to Zuma and his staff than to Putin.
Debbie,
trust
as a
me.
As a military wife and the daughter of a military man,
yeah.
You said you're a hawk earlier. But wouldn't you like less Americans to have to be involved in wars? Won't you at least give Trump credit for having no wars during his administration?
Nobody wants wars. Absolutely none. But I really believe that he thought, Putin thought that he would have been elected in 2020. And I think he did everything that he could, Putin, to get him elected in 2020. And when he didn't, he went ahead and invaded Ukraine. But he's so in bed with Putin. I don't think Putin is scared of him. I think he laughs at him, as all the other dictators do.
You've got a vegetable in charge of the U.S. at the moment. Your president right now is a demented old age home patient, and that's preferable.
I believe we do. No, I do believe we. I think. I've met Joe Biden. I've spent time with him.
He doesn't remember.
He probably doesn't. He probably doesn't. But I will tell you that first debate, trust me, I know about this.
Did he smell your hair and like,
oh, stop
it. You're too old for him.
It. He's a very, you know, in Italian, he's very simpatico. So what you consider weird, you know, I mean, I consider just a nice, just a really simpatico man.
All right.
But I do believe that we did make a mistake. And I guess people, you know, the majority of the Democrats that made these decisions felt that nobody could beat Trump but Biden. And, you know, if we'd had our act together, we would have probably selected someone. And so there wouldn't be this controversy of just giving it to Kamala because it was so late in the game.
Right.
And, you know, she had 100.
By the way, I mean, I haven't asked you.
She had 100 days to get her shit together.
So I haven't asked you this. Yeah, she has only had 100 days, but she's been vice president for 4 years. And apparently all she
and
did
I
is,
think she was really
all she did,
working.
She was great as vice president?
Well, no. So I think that they silenced her during the Biden administration, and they were going to give her more of a voice if he made it, you know, this time. And in the, she worked a lot in the background. She went to over 150 countries. I mean, she
and
did
made
a lot
zero
that we
impact
didn't know about.
By the sound of things. Okay, so, but hang on. I want to give you a fair chance here because you voted for Kamala. So I wanted to ask you this, because this is always the missing part of the puzzle for me. It's like, what do you really like about Kamala Harris? Let's not talk about Donald Trump, because I understand many people will be voting for Kamala just because they really can't stand Donald Trump. And I get
well,
that.
We're afraid for our democracy is the reason why we want to vote for Kamala.
Your democracy will be fine. Your bureaucracy is done.
So thousands and thousands of federal workers are going to be just taken off the map. That's
wonderful.
What he wants to do.
Isn't that great, though?
No,
that'll cost you less tax. You know, think about how efficient the
it's
government will be.
It's not all about the money, though. It's not all. I have many friends that are voting Trump because they're, you know, quite well-to-do. They own small businesses, large businesses, and they're doing it just for the taxes. I think that there's more to America than, you know, saving money. I really do.
But why would are you saying you would want a big inefficient government? That you actually you think that's a good thing?
I don't. Again, I don't think any government is efficient. But I would rather have somebody like Kamala at the helm than this egotistical maniac.
Okay. So get
that
to that.
Is just
okay.
A figurehead.
So I get you. I just want to know why. What about Kamala is interesting and great. I don't want to hear like anti-Trump because I get that and I understand it. What do you like about Kamala?
Okay.
Like, what are you waiting
for? Well, number one,
like,
she's a Democrat. Number two, I think that she will, there will be no retribution. I think she'll start at day one and she will try to be bipartisan. I believe that she will protect women's rights. I believe that she will put into federal law a women's right to choose.
You can't do that legally. It's unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional. Well, Congress cannot make that law. It will be struck down by the Supreme Court.
Okay.
It's unconstitutional.
Which has been stacked. The Supreme Court.
It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. So she's going to pack
it. Mitch McConnell. So. I also believe that we will get the voters' rights in there.
Like which voters?
Know,
like who's being prevented from voting?
I believe that a lot of the districts have been gerrymandered in order to go toward Republicans. I believe that there has been a lot of districts and laws that have put into place that to the detriment of some areas where people mm-hmm. cannot vote because it's in a different, you know,
kind of a voting district jurisdiction, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, but both parties have been gerrymandering the hell out. That's why we've got these battleground states, right?
I mean,
Michigan, Pennsylvania. These guys are going to get their act together.
I haven't been looking. I mean, what's going on? Have you got the
so the latest we've got? You got the numbers?
Well, Georgia's been called.
So Georgia,
officially.
Okay, yeah, Georgia's been called for Trump.
For Trump?
Yeah, 50.8% of the vote. I'm looking at the total Electoral College numbers now. Harris, 213. Trump, 248.
Okay. Oh, Jesus. Okay.
But look, Debbie, the reality is that none of the blue wall states have reported, and Arizona nor Nevada have reported. And as you know, if whichever candidate, if she holds the blue wall,
Michigan,
she wins.
Nevada, Arizona.
And Wisconsin.
So until that is called. And Wisconsin, you're
so
right.
So those are the five that actually matter, in my opinion.
I just love how you say the reality is. It's your reality, Jonathan. It's not
It's everyone's
mine.
Reality. You know, Debbie,
what you said just was, that was my reality. Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada, that is my reality too. I'm waiting for that. But the rest is all your reality. And I just really burns me up when you negate women's right to choose. And
Debbie, I'm for abortion.
Yeah, well, very good.
So what do you mean do I negate women's right to choose?
Well, I'm glad you're for abortion. And you know what? I'm really happy that South Africa has the women's right to choose.
Well, South Africa would not tolerate the laws that exist in California and New York for abortion. Those would be illegal and you'd be arrested. Okay, let's just make that clear.
And what is that? What are those laws? That, as Trump said, which is,
you can
have an abortion at 9 months? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, you can,
so you
Debbie.
Tell me.
But you can do that in New York and California, you can.
You can. That's and let's not go as far as 9 months, Debbie.
That
let's
would
just
be
go
murder.
To let's just go
murder.
To 28 weeks.
You're telling
weeks.
Me that at yep. 9 months,
yes.
someone can have a baby.
Yes, they can.
And they can kill it. That is simply not true.
It is
but
true.
I'm glad that you are for a woman's right to choose. So
I am for that limited right, but I also think it should be what Hillary Clinton said it should be, which is safe, legal, and rare. I do not believe, as per the Democrats now, that you should, inverted commas, celebrate your abortion. I think that is abominable.
There is nobody that will celebrate their abortion.
It's literally a trend on social media amongst Democrats.
I don't give a shit about what's a trend on social media.
Okay.
When you have to make that choice, it is a very it's a very difficult decision to make. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe in abortion, don't have it. But don't give me that right. Don't say that I don't have that right to control my body.
But you do have that right, Debbie, in all states except two.
In
all states except two currently. You have that
for
right.
For 6 weeks, when most of it is 6 weeks?
No, that's one state
that
you're referring
pregnant?
To that has a six-week thing, and pretty much everyone else has veered away from that. So pretty much
most of your
fellow Americans believe you should be where Europe is, which is where South Africa is, which is that you cannot have an abortion beyond 15 weeks. Now, in America, that's not codified
South Africa, actually,
properly.
But
sorry?
There's extenuating No, I just looked it up. South Africa, it's 13 weeks, but there are extenuating circumstances.
It's not actually 13 weeks on your Google search. It's 16 anyway, and it's up to 20 with doctor's motivation. And then the only time it can happen beyond 20 weeks, if it's a danger to the mother's life, which would never
exactly.
be justified psychologically, which is in the New York law. So if a mother psychologically cannot cope with the idea of having a baby, they can terminate the baby.
What about Louisiana? What about Mississippi? What about Kentucky? No, Kentucky, they just gave a right for abortion.
Yeah, Kentucky voted
there
for that.
So
Kentucky's fine with abortion.
Yeah, no, I know. Kentucky, Kansas,
I said,
Florida
all
just
all states
lost.
Except two. And then Florida has a 6 week.
Okay, but how is this the best thing that Kamala can offer? Is like, I'll restore
the
your right to
thing.
Kill your kid.
Stop it,
I mean,
Garrett,
how is this the best? Is this the
that's
best thing she's got?
That's what a man would say. That's
no, okay.
what a man would
so,
say.
So I,
that is what a man would
I
say.
I asked you, well, I'm
and
a man.
It's not
what am
only
I going to say? I mean,
yeah,
I'm a man.
Well,
I'm,
that
I'm
you
gonna
could,
complain about
you
this.
Can.
Listen,
you,
how, is the, I asked you, and I mean, this is an interesting point, right? I said, what is it about Kamala? And you said, woman's right to choose. Great. Okay, so that's her
absolutely.
One. That's what she's got. And that's largely what people will say she's campaigned hard on, right? And I wonder if it's had the effect that it should have.
She's also talked about a ceasefire, trying to promote that, other than
depends.
Trump just saying.
It depends, because
go ahead and do what you have to
do. No, I'm not fighting with you. I just want to say that the Democrats' ad in Michigan was different to the Democrats' ad in Pennsylvania. The advert that they put on in Michigan was, I'm looking for a ceasefire, because she wants to appeal
because
to the Muslim
Israel's
voters
bad,
there.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Right? She's got people like Ilhan Omar over there.
Palestinians there, absolutely.
Right, and in
sure.
Pennsylvania, she needs some Jews.
I mean, come on,
so
it's
she
still
said,
political.
You know, this thing, we've got to support Israel's right to exist.
What a lot of people were really pissed off about is that she wouldn't address it. And then toward the end, she addressed it. So,
no, she did. We still don't know where she stands.
I'm not happy with her. I think she should have addressed it at the very beginning, that she
okay.
would look for a ceasefire, versus Trump saying to Netanyahu, you know, you just finished the job. Basically. Is
yeah,
what
that's what I, that's, where, that's my position, too.
Isn't that a hawk position?
I'd like that position. I'd like him to completely finish his bullet and his Hamas.
I am really, you know, Jonathan, I am really, I am torn by that. Because what happened, and, you know, on October 7th, where over 1,000 people were killed, is unbelievable. And, of course, Israel had, and we need Israel politically, you know, in the Middle East as our allies. But that, even that aside, they have a right to defend themselves. But I'm torn where I think that he had a lot of opportunities for a ceasefire and to get the hostages. And look, you know.
Can I just interrupt this this foreign affairs discussion as much as I'm loving it? You two could talk about this in your spare time. I'll give you each other's numbers.
Jonathan, I think we should meet in person and have a cup
Debbie,
of coffee.
Debbie. No, in South Africa, with pleasure.
I will. I'll organize. Next time Debbie's here, we're all going for dinner. Debbie.
You owe me dinner from like four or five years ago.
I know. I'm sorry. And I will repay it. I don't want you saying I lie like Trump.
Or taking you to court for no reason.
You'll be next thing. There'll be lawfare from Debbie Droke.
You'll be sent to jail for a bad accounting
retribution. Okay, so Debbie,
retribution. Right, Debbie,
who do you think is going to have the biggest meltdown on TV? Will it be Joy Reid, Rachel Maddow? Will it be the Fox guys? Will it be Greg Gutfeld? I mean, who's going to have? Let's say Kamala wins. Who do you think will have the worst day or night of their life, besides obviously Donald Trump? Who's going to be beating themselves up for weeks?
Yeah, you know, I think we all listen to who we want to. That's part of our problem with, you know, cable networks is that we're in a silo. So I have also, you know, I'm big at MSNBC. I have a total crush on
Rachel.
I'd
never have guessed.
I know. I do listen to CNN. I love my Cooper. But there is a new network out called, is it News Nation?
Yeah, News Nation with Cuomo's on News Nation.
Yeah, all the people that got fired from Fox and from MSNBC CNN. And CNN. And, you know, I believe that they are less biased. So I try to listen to Fox sometimes. I just can't. I want to throw up. I think that Kamala did a great job. It's a shame. It is such a shame.
Hang on. You just said she did a great job
with Brett Baier.
With Brent Baier. She really
I was
did
trying
a good
to think
job.
Like, where did she ever do a good job? I'm just trying to.
No, come on.
She did a good job.
I think she was silenced during the administration. I really do. I think she did a lot of great things. We never heard about it.
Well, maybe that was a good idea, because when she opens her mouth, we don't know what the hell she's talking about.
Oh, that's, I mean, how can you say that when Trump opens his mouth and starts talking about sharks and electric boats and
they're eating the dogs
and
they're eating the cats.
Yeah, they're eating the cats. I mean, give me a break. Okay, and you're talking about Kamala, that she doesn't say anything?
Trump sat on Rogan for 3 hours and spoke in depth about DC, about foreign policy, about tariffs, about taxation.
Hang on. I just want to tell you, Debbie, I want to thank you and your fellow Americans for entertaining the hell out of me for the last, I don't know, this feels like the longest campaign season.
This is the best season of America so far.
Aren't history. You exhausted? I mean, what are we going to do
am
if
I
Trump
exhausted?
Didn't exist anymore?
Imagine how these candidates feel. Debbie, where were you? Were you by any chance in Butler, Pennsylvania, around 2 months
ago? The 13th of July.
Yeah, let me tell you,
were you on a roof?
Were you sitting on a roof in Butler, Pennsylvania with a sniper rifle?
No, but I didn't even know Republicans had said it was a bad shot. So not that I'm wishing him dead. Not wishing him dead.
I hope not, Debbie. That would be terrible.
That stupid
that would be
little
very,
white
very much worse than
Debbie. Debbie, we're going to have to call it soon. But I'm going to ask if you do me a favor, so that when we meet, I'm going to ask if you can write down like 10 things, which I'm sure you'll easily be able to do. 10 things that you think Trump is going to do. So, like, number one, retribution against his enemies. Number two, like, worsen the situation in Ukraine. Or write down 10 things, but be like relatively specific in like a sentence.
Yeah.
And then when we meet, I want to see how many of those things actually come true, because I'll do the same.
I hope none of them come true. I hope that I don't have to walk around with a passport.
Sure, but assuming he wins, here's the thing: is I think one of the problems with your side of the argument is that you can find no positive with regards to Trump, and there clearly were in his 4 years, and I can find both positives and negatives with regards to Trump in his 4 years.
I'm very proud of you, Jonathan, for doing that. You're not living this absolute nightmare.
But
I live 12 miles from D.C. I listen to this shit every day, 24/7. It's exhausting.
Well, that's because you got MSNBC on.
And I don't understand America that this would even be close.
Well, what I'm trying to express to you. What I'm trying to express to you is that the reason it's where it is because other people have done the list of 10 things, but they've just done it retrospectively, and they've been able to see some positives.
Debbie, are you very angry that we sent you Elon Musk all those years ago?
Oh my God, I'm offended that he's a South African, number one.
Yeah,
I really am.
You don't like him at all.
I really love his car. I would never friggin' buy his car in a million years. Oh. I wouldn't give that guy a dime. The only reason why he's in bed with Trump is to give him power. Let's face it. I mean, I wish he'd give me $1 million.
Okay, but again, are there not positives to Elon Musk? I mean, is the stuff he's done, he just rescued your astronauts from the space station. Can you not give him credit for that?
I thought that was very cool. Very cool.
Okay, good.
It's in a race for commercial spacecrafts. It's a race. He's a smart man. I'm not saying that he's not. I loved it when this guy is a billionaire so many times over.
Yeah.
And I loved it on national TV when he didn't like an answer. He did a Gareth Cliff. He said, fuck off. Is that exactly what he said? Good for him. But for him to be in national politics.
I thought of someone. How about Tulsi Gabbard? Okay,
you're really enjoying this.
How about no, Debbie? I love you. You know I love you, and I'm always.
I know. I love
someone. That's good insight, Debbie.
Someone
to be
in the comments. Someone in the comments says here.
It's my reality.
You're not going to be friends here. Bushfeld Butt says Gareth. She won't be your friend anymore after this nonsense. So,
are you kidding?
How about
We've been friends for so long. How
about Lieutenant Colonel Tulsi Gabbard? Don't you like her? She used to be a Democrat. She's a military woman. She's very smart.
Wait a minute.
Don't say she's a Russian asset.
No. Wait a minute. Okay, tell me. What state? Tell me. Give me a little bit. I know the name.
She's from Hawaii.
That's her state.
Yeah.
But she's
been in politics for a long time.
She was deputy of the DNC at one point.
She was deputy of the Democratic National Convention for a while. She's been a Democrat all of her life, been in military service. She's fought in wars. She's a very sensible person. She's got some strong opinions about not having to be involved in unnecessary wars and all the rest of it. Is that perhaps an entry point for you into someone in the Trump administration that you might like?
Do you think that he would bring her in?
Yeah, she's definitely in.
She's in. She's fully endorsed him. I think she may be defense secretary, actually.
I have heard some really great things about her. Mm. I have. I've heard some good things about her. I don't know why she went to the dark side, but yeah.
Vivek Ramaswamy? We like him, huh? Smart guy.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
That guy is ridiculous. Oh my God. You're just playing with me now.
Ron Paul's going to join the Trump.
Oh my God. He showed up at a hotel doing a.
Gareth, stop triggering
him. I was in this government thing. He shows up for this rally he was having, and I looked at him and said, really? Oh my God. Really?
Okay, no, none of these guys. And JD Vance, you don't like him?
Oh my God. He is scary. Guy is scary.
Your opinion on JD, what's wrong with him?
He is so MAGA. He's so involved with the Heritage Foundation and with Project 2025. And I'm convinced that it was the Heritage Foundation that wanted him. Of course, they thought they would be running against Biden, and they're not. And so that kind of blew up because I think they would have picked a different candidate that was a little bit more centric. He sounds so, he could tell you, I mean, he's got a gift. He can tell you the sky is purple and you know it's blue, but you'd be looking up to make sure that it wasn't purple. He's so like scary, terrifyingly logical about, you know, that it's not true, but he really believes
he might
in
have
all
a bit
this
of,
MAGA.
Might have a bit of charisma. You
There's
know,
no I, charisma I, to with charisma.
Well,
JD Vance. I mean, come
I don't
on.
Know. His
There's
family seemed to like him.
Charisma.
Here's an interesting thing, right? Do you like Tim Walz? I mean, this is the vice president. He'll be your vice president if Kamala wins.
Yes,
Tim Walz.
Yeah,
I don't
like
know
him.
Anything about this guy except for the last 2-3 months. He did he fight in Afghanistan or did he not? I don't think he did.
He was National
no, no,
Guard.
No, he never
he
went
was
to
National
war.
Guard.
Oh, okay.
He's National Guard, and
no,
he was.
No, I think he. I don't believe he went to war, but I think he supported it in different ways with what he did here in the States, which you can do.
Do you think that the nickname Tampon Tim is very unfair?
He's the kind of guy you want to have over for dinner, but I would not want his casserole. Actually, my neighbor made the casserole and it sucked. Like, no, I don't need any tater tots and, you know, cream of mushroom soup. I'm good. So, but, you know, I think that it was not a bad choice in that he is a hunter, that he's a, he's kind of like a good old boy.
Doesn't know how to load his gun, though.
So I don't know about loading guns, so I wouldn't know that. I know that he's a hunter. I think that he put the fact that he could wear a camo hat is not necessarily
a Republican
just
listen,
thing
we,
anymore.
We got to wrap this up. We're already 10 minutes over, but I do have to ask, do you still have your pussy hat from the last Have you still got that pussy
hat? I do.
Hat?
Absolutely.
You do.
Absolutely.
You might need
I've
to whip it out,
I've got my nasty
eh?
woman. And you know what happened to me when I wore that nasty woman? Somebody, this guy shouldered, what is it? What do you call it when somebody hits you? Like in the, this guy almost knocked me down.
Oh,
and
that's horrible.
I wanted to, yeah, it was awful. But
oh, that's horrible. But yeah. Jonathan's right. I mean, you might have to pull out that pussy hat a little later on if things don't go well.
Oh my God!
I mean, Debbie, you know, You said you're 12 miles from the White House. I mean, you January 6th. I'd be ready if I were you. You need to storm the Capitol.
Why don't you storm the Capitol on January 6th if Trump becomes president?
You know, this is a big thing between Republicans and Democrats. We're fairly nonviolent. That's not going to happen. I mean, hey, 75,000 people showed up. Last week. It was amazing. It really was.
Where was that?
And there was Washington. Yeah.
Okay.
In Washington. Yeah. So what are you looking at there, Jonathan? What's going on now?
I'm just looking at if anything new is coming through. But
a lot of the large
so
like
far the only news like extra new news is that Mark Cuban is projected to be an aging lesbian.
Mark Cuban.
All right,
oh, you're
listen,
funny.
I'm going to let you go. Debbie, I know it's late at night. Thank you for staying up to talk to us.
I'll probably be up all night. So, look, thanks for having me on, Gareth. And maybe you can have me on sometime when it's not so controversial. I can give you, like... things you know, going on in America and the entertainment
industry
or something.
We can talk about Italian food, and you'll have
I
way more to
that.
Say.
You've
I know
been
that.
At my table, absolutely. Mm.
And so, you know what? We'll organize that dinner when you're here with Jonathan, and we'll look at your 10
I'll
lists.
Oh, yeah. I'll just cook up something and try not to put
your
a laxative
in
lists. Jonathan's side.
So between the two of you, you're going to have your list of terrible things that could happen?
You know, I know we're going to sit down. Yes, we'll do that, and we'll sit down, and we'll probably really enjoy each other's company. I look forward to it.
Be good, Debbie, and good
you.
Luck Good
love
luck
you,
for
Gareth.
The day and the night.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Mwah. There we go. There's Debbie Droke. All right, well, thank you for joining us. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you, Jonathan Witt.
Yeah, that was rough.
You got that hat, and... Debbie sounds like she's got the pussy hat and we're all ready to go.
Debbie's got that shirt, but if Kamala doesn't win, then, as you said, incinerated within a week.
Oh, there'll be no reason to have that anymore.
Done.
Yeah. And there won't even be a book.
There won't even be. What happened to part two?
No, there won't even be a book.
Because no one will buy it.
No, because she has nothing to say.
Yeah, it's what I did see online, but it's everyone's it's feelings at the moment. It's no actual numbers. And I learned my lesson in 2020.
You were a bit traumatized by that.
Yeah, because you went to sleep I stayed at night. Up all night in 2020 and went to sleep at about somewhere around 5, 6 in the morning. And when I went to sleep, the reason I went to sleep was because Trump was winning. And pretty much everyone was talking, you know, even, you know, CNN included, was sort of saying, oh, it looks like Trump's got this and Trump's going to win. And, you know, and they were all starting to commiserate. And then I went to sleep for a couple of hours and woke up and suddenly he had lost. And obviously in all these states where they had these large mail drops and where there was subsequently all the arguments about what was legitimate and
places
not legitimate.
Like Maricopa County.
Places like Maricopa Arizona. County in Arizona, the 12,000 votes in Georgia, the cured ballots also in Arizona, I think it was. So, you know, there were all these sort of shenanigans that went down. And yeah, so until I see it on a map reported from a legitimate source, I'm going to assume this election is still very wide open. If Trump wins any of Wisconsin, Michigan, or Pennsylvania, then it's over. But at the moment, none of those are reporting, and neither is Arizona.
Yeah, we've got Harris 213 Electoral College votes, Trump 251. That's, I'm afraid, where we're going to have to close it. But I'm going to be obsessing over this for the next day and a half, so don't expect to hear from me until Friday.
Cool.
All right.
I'll be listening.
You're going to be doing heart surgery later, so you also missed the election.
Yeah, as a journalist, as you know, I often go and do heart surgery.
Very good. So. All right, everybody. Thank you very much. Have an awesome day, and good luck, America.